This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. On March 21st, a six-person jury awarded Hulk Hogan the stage name of retired professional wrestler Terry Bollea $140 million in civil damages for a sex tape that gossip website Gawker published in 2012. In doing so, the jury believed that Hulk Hogan's privacy was violated as the tape was made and distributed without his permission. Joining me in the studio to explain how far public interest can encroach into privacy rights is lawyer Fung Cheng Leong. Firstly, what are your initial thoughts on the case?
Well, to me, if a news agency publishes information or probably steals from the sex videos, I think that would be an invasion of privacy. But in this Hulk Hogan case, it's a question of whether $140 million of damages should be paid to Hulk Hogan or not. Could it be for a small amount? $1 million would be a better amount, but $140 million is a very, very high amount. So to me, it is indeed an invasion of privacy. But in the US, you need to balance a person's privacy and the media's right to freedom of speech.
Do we know, I mean, as you pointed out, that's a huge amount. What are the kinds of things that would cause that amount to go up so greatly?
Probably one of the things that would be taken into account is, for example, how much contracts Hulk Hogan has lost due to his, you know, damage to his reputation. And two is also, you know, loss of his goodwill and personal embarrassment, emotional distress, and so on and so forth. I remember reading parts of the news, the amount is broken down into, for example, emotional distress, damaged reputation.
How do you demonstrate emotional distress? I mean, damaged reputation, you can have like, okay, this person wanted to sign me up and then said no. And you can demonstrate, look, I almost got this $5 million contract and now I don't have it anymore. But emotional distress, I mean, how does that work? I just tell you that I haven't been sleeping and you believe me?
Well, you got to look at the circumstances of the case. So, for example, Hulk Hogan has been people have looked up to him. WWF, he was the hero and everybody thinks he's the hero. And suddenly, one day, someone comes and tell you, you know, you are no longer a hero, but a person whose sex video has been leaked online. But if, for example, if you have been a porn star and you say your sex video has been published online, then the damage may not be as bad as you has been a hero, you had no sex tape published before that. I think too, to the jury will need to assess, okay, who was this person before that? And once take into account of what has been done to him, so would that person of that standing, how much would that affect him? In theory, of course.
You mentioned earlier that, and this whole situation is about a public figure, right? That's the whole point. What is the threshold of the public's right to information about a public figure? How much do I deserve to know or need to know about people who are in the public sphere?
Well, I think it varies. In the US, you would have a right to information of a lot of your celebrity. So that's where the freedom of expression comes in. But in Malaysia, we are a more conservative society. If, let's say, you're a politician, my view is that I would want to know information, for example, if you're a government officer, your standing or your qualification as a government officer. If, let's say, you have some information that would affect your public duty, then that is something that the public should know. That is the, you know, right to information. But if, let's say, you are...
I'm a singer.
You're a singer. Of course, people will say that in Malaysia, it's quite difficult to gauge. Can I know about what's in your family background? Who is in your family? And can I come to your house and take pictures? Can I sit in front of your house and take pictures? In Malaysia, we are not so developed to, you know, put a restraining order against, let's say, paparazzi. Malaysia is usually your Malay celebrities. Can paparazzi park their cars outside the house and start snapping pictures when they will come out? So in Malaysia, I've not seen any court cases to that effect yet.
Newsworthiness was also a contentious term in this case. I mean, we've talked about the idea of how much information needs to be put out there. But I guess when it comes to the press and what or the media and what we choose to put out in the world, we would defend it on the basis that, well, it's newsworthy. From a legal perspective, what's considered newsworthy?
Well, it all ties down to, you know, freedom of expression. In Malaysia, we all have a freedom of expression, but this freedom of expression is limited in a way. So we are all guided by the laws on defamation, sedition, whether it is offensive, which basically falls under the Communication Multimedia Act, and also we have the Printing Press Act. and so on and so forth. So in Malaysia, we have limitations, unlike the US, which has a very vast freedom of expression rights over there.
Do I get to be both a public and a private citizen at the same time? Because the thing about Hulk Hogan is it's quite interesting because you could argue that, well, Hulk Hogan is famous, but Terry Bollea is not. Whereas if you are a politician, I don't think you get to, I'm not sure you get to make that same distinction. You can't say, well, you know, in my professional life, I'm the prime minister, but in my personal life, I'm just this other person.
Well, it's quite hard, as you say, it's quite hard to put a distinction. If I'm the prime minister, everybody wants to know what you do and everybody wants to know what how much money you have in your bank or what are your family members doing to make sure that none of them are, you know, taking money and being basically corrupted. So, yeah.
So it's really, so in other words, it just doesn't apply?
I guess so. I guess to case-to-case basis, let's say I'm a singer. As a singer, the public may want to know, you know, basically your right to your details and your family life and so on and so forth. But the information, of course, limited to certain things, but things like your modesty, what you do in a bathroom and, you know, basically your private life, whatever you do in the house, that is limited to that part. So that part is protected. Whereas what you do in the public has the right to know.
We're talking about a sex tape, and by and large, sex tapes are things that were filmed in the privacy of a home or in the privacy of a room of some kind, and then those materials are then obtained through whatever means. Can journalists publish materials obtained illegally, and what does illegally mean, especially here in Malaysia?
Illegally means possibly would be confidential information. So if let's say that person has kept the information, you know, privately or expressly said that, or even impliedly, we can know that it is confidential information, that could be deemed as an illegal means. Of course, there are cases here, you may publish information that is confidential, but if you publish it, then you may be subject to a breach of confidence suit or even an invasion of privacy suit. But question on invasion of privacy suit, Malaysia is quite difficult to say because different high courts has decided on whether there's invasion of privacy rights or not in Malaysia. So only recently, we have a lot of cases of invasion of privacy. Some courts have determined that, yes, there is invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia, but in limited circumstances, for example, a woman's modesty, it is, and if you have published information about her modesty, let's say for in this very well-known case, it's called the Mastinda case, whereas the lady was, she was arrested and she was in a truck. And when she wanted to go to the toilet, she was obstructed and she decided to do her business in the truck. Then one of the officers, when she was arrested, came and started snapping pictures. So in that case, the Court of Appeal actually granted her damages. But then there was no express ruling to say that there's invasion privacy rights or not. So whereas another Court of Appeal case says that in Malaysia, basically that case involves the publication of a person's photograph in a magazine. The judge said that in Malaysia, there's no invasion of privacy rights. So there were two contrasting Court of Appeal decisions. But then in the High Court, we have a lot of cases where it says, yes, if you have taken, for example, this Penang case, where the doctor had actually taken pictures of the patient when she was unconscious due to the medical examination, she was granted an injunction. The court held that there was invasion of privacy rights, plus there had been breach of confidence as well. But then recently, another case where a person was arrested for possession of pornographic materials. He was charged in court. Then the raid at his house apparently took a lot of his personal information and he actually sued for invasion of privacy rights. He basically sued the government. So the government applied to strike out the case against them, saying that there's no invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia. So in the end, the court decided, yes, after looking at all these past cases, the invasion of privacy rights is limited to a woman's privacy. So in a court on that basis, struck out that case. Now we are stuck in between. So is there an invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia? If there is, could it be limited to circumstances only? But there was one case, the Johor case, Liu Chiu Po case, very well known. But there are two judgments. The initial judgment says there are no invasion of privacy rights, whereas at trial, the court says there is invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia. So basically, this case is a dispute between two neighbours. The first neighbour sued the other neighbour on the ground that the first neighbour had a CCTV installed in the house and one of the CCTV was facing the neighbour's house. Background of the story is that basically the two neighbours were fighting. A lot of animosity going between them. So the first neighbour sued, and then the court says, okay, in the invasion of privacy rights at the trial, after the trial, the court says there is indeed invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia. We have the right to privacy. We need to balance the right. Basically, the CCTV was for security purposes. So the court say, okay, we need to balance person's right to privacy and the right to security. So which one would prevail? And the court says, you have a lot of CCTVs here. Why must that CCTV be, you know, facing that neighbor? So the court says, okay, this is an invasion. The right to privacy here prevails. A mandatory injunction to take down the CCTV. So from that case, we know that, okay, it may be possible to sue for invasion of privacy rights for matters that does not concern a woman's modesty.
I'm speaking today with lawyer Fong Cheng Leong, and we're discussing invasion of privacy. We used Hulk Hogan as our jump-off point. Up next, we're going to be discussing, well, I'm curious about what it means to not have privacy rights in Malaysia. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, lawyer Fong Cheng Leong. And we're talking about invasion of privacy and privacy rights, specifically how it works here in our country, because I'm a little bit shocked, actually, at the idea of how little privacy we might have. You mentioned earlier that there is this conflict over whether or not we even have that invasion of privacy rights. What is considered privacy? I mean, how does it... Because what I consider an invasion of my privacy, you might not, and the law might not. So at what point do I get to say, no, I feel like this is not acceptable, and kind of take it to court?
Well, the right to privacy is basically the right to control information. So the information could be, you know, your text messages, recording of what you do, basically information about yourself. So whether that information, you know, accords the right to privacy, first, you need to determine whether there's expectation of privacy or not. So whether that information, there's privacy elements in it. What you do in the public, you know, that you have no expectation of privacy. What has been published, for example, there's like the Shrina Abdullah case, like the Sabah Sarawak case, where the lady sued for immediate privacy because the defendant took her Facebook picture and published it in an advertisement. So because that picture had already been in circulation in the public, the court says that you have no expectation of privacy in that case.
Because it had been on Facebook.
Yes, because it has been in the public domain already. So in that case, could it mean once it's on the internet, you know, have no right to privacy anymore?
But that wouldn't apply if somebody managed to get into, for example, my Dropbox, yes, and take one of my photos. Then I would be able to sue, right?
One, it would depend on what information is it. So for
let's say a photo that they use exactly the same, it's just that it wasn't on Facebook. It was in a private sort of lockbox. I've put it away and now you've gone and taken it out and used it.
If let's say the picture, first for me is where was the picture taken. If let's say you've taken the picture in a public place, does that information in that picture, you know, expect some form of, you know, protection by privacy laws or not? So, but if let's say you have taken the picture at home and you're not dressed and so on and so forth, then yes, I think that is an expecting of privacy in respect of the photo. But if let's say if it's a group photo, for example, or in a picture of you sitting, you know, in an open area at a rally, for example, a lot of people have seen you there. So there is no expectation of privacy in respect of the information in that picture rather than the picture itself.
So in other words, I would be able to, if I did complain about it, it would be more about the fact that you're using my image in a commercial setting.
If let's say you're taking the information from Dropbox without permission, first thing is hacking. It could be considered as hacking where there is unauthorized access and there could be unauthorized modification as well. So there could be an offense under the Computer Crimes Act. So then, of course, the question whether it's breach of confidence or not. There's another action which you call breach of confidence, whether that information is confidential or not. Even though there may not be an expectation of privacy to it, but the information could be confidential. But then, if let's say I've taken your picture and then I used it for an advertisement, there's an ultra dimension case where the similar effects. the defendant basically took the picture and licensed it to third parties for advertisement purposes. So the person in that picture, she was in a group photo and with a group of children. So the court says that that picture has no expectation of privacy, and one, there's no invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia. And then that information is also not confidential because it was taken in public settings.
And we're talking about a lot about women, and you mentioned earlier that the law protects women's privacy more so. Is there a reason for that? I mean, I'm not complaining necessarily. It benefits me. But I mean, why do women have more of a right to privacy than men?
I think in this two cases, the cases that I mentioned was specifically on women's rights. I think men would be given the same right. For example, if the same action happened to a man, I think he would have the right to sue for the same thing as well. Men too have a right expectation of privacy. But of course, I guess if let's say there's a man takes picture, a topless picture of himself, so rather than a woman taking pictures topless of herself, I think the expectation of privacy of men not wearing a shirt, which we see a lot, you know, topless men on the newspaper, there's probably no expectation of privacy in respect of a man, you know, not wearing a top.
Earlier, you also spoke about how we're kind of in a limbo state now where, you know, the courts have yet to sort of definitively land. It's sort of on a case-by-case basis of whether or not we have, you know, invasion of privacy rights. How many cases do you need anyway before it becomes kind of an accepted thing that, okay, we have enough precedent, we have enough examples?
Well, all we need is a federal court decision to say that there's invasion of privacy rights, or the parliament actually passes a law to say that, yes, there is invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia. So we basically need a court of a, you know, higher authority to say that Malaysia, we have an invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia, we should be able to sue for it. I think it would take a few more years for us to go through that level.
In your view, do we need more stringent laws and kind of practices when it comes to privacy and the law here in our country?
Indeed, yes. I mean, if let's say 100 years ago, information about yourself is very limited. You probably have a diary, and you know, diary has some private matters in it. But now, you have more information about yourself due to, you know, technological advancement. You write your diary, you take pictures of yourself, you do video recording, you do some audio recording, and so on and so forth. And information comes in various forms. Indeed, we need to change our law. I am pro-privacy, so indeed we need to change our laws to recognize there is invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia. Either legislate it or the courts will decide it. Put a consistent decision on it.
What would be needed to be able to write an act or to kind of pass a law that would accurately cover all the different ways in which technology can change and move around? Because like you pointed out, you know, diary to now, it's completely different. How we keep a diary even, we might keep an online diary and then things are completely different there. But also, things are continuing to change. I mean, you have new apps, you have new ways of disseminating information coming out every day.
Well, usually laws are pushed by government agencies. When they are given, for example, a task to take care of certain matters, they usually would know what's the issue in that problem. So perhaps the government, a certain branch of the government, or even an MP, a member of parliament, would come up with their own private member's bill, or even come in a motion to debate about it, or even to, you know, let the government look into it and get the Attorney General's chambers to draft the bill out for it to be determined. So now we have the Personal Data Protection Commissioner, which falls under the Communication and Multimedia Ministry. Perhaps that ministry could come out with, you know, a suggestion or a consultation on privacy rights in Malaysia. So since now we already have the Personal Data Protection Act, there is a certain right that has been given to us in respect of personal data in commercial transactions, in respect of commercial transactions. So only in that respect.
We spoke earlier about politicians and, you know, we talked about how a lot of their lives are fair game because you want to know who's in charge and you want to know the character of the person in charge. But when it comes to their sex lives, you know, with Hulk Hogan, it's almost like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. Mm. But when it comes to politicians, why is it that sex lives become kind of part of the discourse surrounding them? Why do we care what they do? I mean, and is it dependent on the kind of country that we're in? Because I think in a country like, for example, France, people are just less bothered by it. Is it a cultural thing or is it a legal thing?
I think it's a cultural thing. Where in societies where sex is, you know, not to say normal, but
run of the mill, just part of life. Yeah.
Malaysia, we are a more conservative country. It is, sad to say, it is a common occurrence that they use sex as an attack on politicians of both sides. As we can see, we have an MCA minister who is subject to it. We had cases where we had a PKR, a state assembly woman, who was subject to it. And of course, Anwar Ibrahim. Also, again, we had someone saying that he went to Thailand and they had sex videos of him. And then we have cases saying he's a sodomist. So it becomes a tool for, you know, for politicians to take each other down. That is the unfortunate position here in Malaysia and other part of the world, actually.
Has a similar case been brought to a Malaysian court before?
Of sex tapes?
Of sex tapes. And I guess specifically, because if you're looking at the exact setup, I guess, of the Hulk Hogan sex tape, it's not that he's necessarily suing whoever it was who disseminated it. He's suing the publisher. He's suing Gawker for, you know, putting it out there. So have we had that similar kind of occurrence before?
No reported cases yet. I mean, as in reported judgment, there could be, you know, private actions which has been filed and no one has published about it. But if, let's say, you want to take an action for, you know, publishing your sex tape, you'll be on trial and you'll be on a stand, and then you will need to divulge every detail of it. If I'm the opponent counsel, I would want to, you know, cross-examine you and make you say all sorts of things which would be in public record. So once it's public record, people can access it, and for example, Hogan's case, all the trial proceedings were published. So basically, they were extracting all information in it and made thousands of articles based on the court proceedings. So likewise in Malaysia, if we were to go through a court proceedings on that, it would be quite embarrassed, lah.
And it would all be fair game, right? Because if I remember correctly, with Hulk Hogan, one of the things that came out that was most sort of embarrassing to him was that he said, I believe, racist statements in the context of the tape, and had to talk about that. And so once it's out there, then anyone can publish it and I can never say anything about it, right? Because it's public record?
Correct. Once it's public record, anyone can publish about it. Unfortunate position.
When it comes to the pornographic images and videos of our politicians that have been circulated in the past, can the people in those images and videos sue the hotel or the owner of those materials?
If, let's say, we look at the MCA politician where it was taken at private settings in a hotel, of names that I would want to reveal, I think if, let's say, he had taken action against the, you know, hotel, because there was a hidden camera installed in his hotel, so would he may want to consider an action for negligence. If I stay in a hotel, would expect the hotel, one, is to be safe. Safe, not as in, you know, free for fire, break in, and so on and so forth, but, you know, free for being surveyed. There was surveillance against me, or whatever I do in the room has been published out. So I think there's an action for negligence in that sense.
For a slight change of pace, what does our law say about the privacy rights of sexually assaulted survivors or, you know, minors who've passed away, for example? How much of that do people need to know? Because I think sometimes, especially for minors, I mean, that bothers me, because when you're still alive and you're a minor in a case, you don't get named. But sometimes once you've passed away, that case is commonly referred to as the so-and-so case, or the, you know, and you would think that that privacy should still extend.
In the UK, there is a specific law where it makes it an offence to publish names of sexual assault victims. Whereas Malaysia, we don't have a specific law. Unfortunate position in Malaysia is that sometimes the court actually publish the name of the victims themselves. So I have gone through a lot of judgments where the court actually published the name, full name and IC number, their family names, family member names, and so on and so forth. And there were no action to redact all these names. There are some fortunate court judgment which has redacted the names. But unfortunately, I have seen more than 10 judgments with such name. The court really need to look into that. But whereas I think that is the ethical part of the journalists, not to publish the names of the victims unless the victim openly says, I waive my right to anonymity. You may publish my name, so on and so forth, information about it. So as we can see in the case, the New Zealand case where the staff in the embassy actually sexually assaulted a woman and then basically did something in front of her house, that lady actually waived the right to anonymity and gave a television interview or a newspaper interview. So in certain cases, there are laws to protect the identity of sexual victims, whereas in Malaysia, no specific law to stop that.
Which seems like a good place to kind of land for my final question, which is overall, where do you think we need to kind of up our game in terms of privacy and our right to privacy in the legal setting?
We need to legislate that there is invasion of privacy rights in Malaysia. We are clear that, we all have the right to privacy. We know that. We also know that if, let's say, someone invaded privacy, it could be a criminal offence under the Penal Code. If I'm not mistaken, it's 509 of the Penal Code. From that, the police can actually charge for example, in Marcinda's case, the person, the perpetrator, was actually charged in court and sentenced to jail. But of course, the police may not have so much time in their hands to take all this action, and sometimes it is beyond them. Because, for example, if it's online, they may not have the expertise to track who has been invading that person's right. So yes, one, we need to make sure that there's invasion of privacy rights. And two is education. There are not much education on a person's right to privacy. One thing, the public needs to be educated on that. And two is that they also need to know how they can take action. So for them to go to court to file an action for invasion of privacy, that may be very costly. Not everybody can afford such court proceedings. So yes, I think most important, these two things that need to be done.
I've been speaking today with Fong Cheng Leong, lawyer, about privacy rights. Thank you for coming in. You've been listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.